everyone. Welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 486 for December 15th to 2014. I'm Peter Reitzis here in Carrboro, North Carolina, and I'd like to welcome to Stutter Talk all the way from Israel, Hanan Horowitz. Hey, Hanan.
Hi, Peter. It's really nice to be here and to speak with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for being patient with me as I was trying to get my baby girl to fall asleep so we can have a nice, quiet podcast.
That's cool. It's fine. I understand.
Yeah, we had to decide which stuffed animals were going to stay in the bed with her, which were not. We had really important decisions, man. Hanan Horowitz is a host of the Stutter Social Hangouts, found at stuttersocial.com. Hanan grew up in South Africa and is an electronics engineer working in product marketing and account management in Israel. Mr. Horowitz has stuttered most of his life, and now, after being helped by the stuttering community, is working to give back to the community and support other people who stutter. So let's jump into this. We're going to get to Stutter Social in just a minute. That's a very popular, fairly new service for people who stutter. It's got quite a buzz going about it. But first, you've written that self-help for people who stutter saved your life. And by the way, I have said the same thing, or the way I have said it is meeting a really good speech therapist and joining self-help saved my life. But we're talking about you today. So how has self-help saved your life?
Well, it saved my life, certainly from a mental anguish point of view, and very probably from a physical, literal point of view. The thing is that for most of my life, I didn't know anything about stuttering. I knew I stuttered. I knew that I felt incredibly alone. I knew I felt a lot of shame, but I thought that I was supposed to feel ashamed about it. I thought that it was my fault and I was doing something wrong, or I wasn't doing what I should do to speak. So, you know, I think everybody knows the trauma that we go through with it. So finding self-help, and if by finding information about stuttering, proper information that made sense to me that I could use, finding other people who stutter, finding out that I am not alone, finding out that I am not to blame, breaking the isolation, those things turned my life around. Enabled me with time to have a lot less or zero thoughts about suicide, which at one point in my life was a constant thought, but perhaps even more important, helped me to understand how I can actually thrive in life. So that's how self-help saved me.
Yeah, I love how you say that, thriving in life, because over the years, I've heard a lot of people who stutter in the self-help movement talk about living with stuttering. And I've always liked that term, but thriving with stuttering for me is the goal.
Yes, yes, I agree. I'd also heard a lot the phrase about living with stuttering, and I'm sure I heard from someone else along the line, thriving, and learning from other people who I meet over the years, I see that we can actually thrive. We don't just have to live and get by. Not easy, easier said than done, as we always say, but possible.
Yeah. So I want to let the listeners know that you are joining us today with a cold. And even though you have a pretty good cold, you are persevering through this. So I want to thank you for not bailing out on us tonight.
And I thank you. I wanted to bail, but I realized that part of my wanting to bail is just my fear of being on Stutter Talk. Because Stutter Talk is such an exceptional service. So there's a lot of, I feel a lot of intimidation, as it were.
Well, that is very sweet of you. And everyone who I know who knows you says you're an exceptional person. Or your fellow Israeli, our fellow stuttering friend, or he doesn't stutter, but he works with people who stutter, Ori Schneider, mm-hmm. speaks the mm-hmm. world of you. He just says you're an awesome, awesome guy. And I know that you and Ori and others are very active in self-help in Israel. Is that where you first started to get involved with self-help, or did you first start to get involved in South Africa, or what's your self-help story?
I first started to get involved in self-help in 2010 via the National Stuttering Association. I moved to Israel from South Africa in 1984, so it's that's a long, long time ago. So it was only 4.5 years ago, more or less, that I started to look for information about stuttering and the National Stuttering Association. From what I could read, the websites was offering me what I wanted at the time, which was a support group.
So you came to the United States for a conference, or how did you first get in a room with other people who stutter?
Very, very hesitantly.
me too.
I came to the United States to the Cleveland conference. I had written to Tammy Flores before asking if it would be okay if I came to the conference, because I'm not an American. She was very encouraging, of course. So in 2010, I managed to wing a business trip that I had to make to the States with a trip to the National Stuttering Association conference. So that was in 2010. And since then, I've been attending every year without using the business trip as an excuse.
That is fantastic. And I promise to you and the listeners, we're going to get to your stutter social work in just a minute or two. But Ori Schneider shared with me that you guys are working together in Israel, trying to bring self-help for people who stutter to the next level in Israel. What does that mean? Like, where is stuttering self-help, and where are you trying to take it in the country of Israel?
Well, there are a lot of people now in Israel who are interested, who are actually active in doing more to generate awareness about stuttering in Israel. In terms of self-help, I think that we're actually struggling a little bit. Me, Uri, perhaps a few other people have ideas about what we want to do, but time we need to get our organization perhaps a bit organized, perhaps in a bit of a different way, to get organized and to have self-help groups as a more constant thing, an activity. We have a couple groups in Israel. We have a group in Jerusalem. I run a group in my hometown in Ra'anana. There's a group that meets occasionally in Haifa, and perhaps one in Be'er Sheva. It's a different place around the country, but attendance is not consistent. Many, many people see the self-help group, the support group, as a place where people go to complain, and it's really not the case. You know that, of course. We have to, I believe, have more activities in more places around the country and do more PR around it. Just me advertising that we're going to have a self-help group meeting is not enough. We need to get our PR people involved and really advertise it and promote it. So it's a bit of a long answer. I apologize. We're not doing much yet. We've got a lot of people who have great ideas, and having Uri on board is, of course, wonderful with all his experience and energy. We just got to get together now in an organized way and make it happen.
Well, I imagine that's some challenge. I mean, I live in the United States, which is a huge country with a huge population. And when I first started in self-help, I remember someone who was involved with the National Stuttering Association telling me that they only had about 3,000 members. So I would have to imagine that, it'd be really hard in a small country like Israel to get self-help off the ground. But I wish you guys the best of luck with that.
Thank you very much. I'm reaching out now to other people around the world to learn from their expertise and experience to see more about what we need to do to get more people involved. So hopefully it'll help.
Yeah, and I've seen
it will help.
I've seen good pictures. I mean, I saw one picture of a group meeting in Israel, a self-help group for people who stutter, and I was very impressed that there were Israelis, Jews, there were Arabs in the picture. So I thought that was kind of cool, and we might get back to that topic in just a moment. Mm-hmm. This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitz is here with Hanan Hurwitz, and I want to ask you about Stutter Social, which is very popular right now, stuttersocial.com. What, and you're one of numerous Stutter Social hosts, what is Stutter Social for those who don't know?
Stutter Social is a video chat for people who stutter. We use Google Hangouts, just happened to, and basically have virtual self-help group meetings. So it's a way to enable people who stutter to talk to each other, and it's very, very powerful as a way to help people who stutter who don't have access to a support group to be in contact with people who stutter on a regular basis.
But it is a support group, right?
It's an interesting question. I think, yes, at the end of the day, it's a support group. Why I hesitate, why I say it's an interesting question, is that we're there to chat with other people who stutter. So what makes a support group a support group? Is it a particular structure? Is it a particular message? Is it just being there for people who are facing the same issues as yourself? And I don't know how a support group is officially defined, as it were. I know what I do in my hometown in a support group, and I would say that Stutter Social is in fact a support group, since it enables people who stutter to speak with people who face the same challenges they do, to speak about what's happening to them, to share what's happening to other people, and thereby get empowered.
So my answer or my idea might change tomorrow. It might change the next 10 minutes. But you bring up a great topic. What's a support group? And I think for me, or at least how I like to see support, is when people who stutter have the opportunity, if they wish, to share their experiences using the I voice. So my experience has been that I have been helped by voluntary stuttering. I have been helped by talking about stuttering, as opposed to people getting on and saying, this is what you should do. So I'm wondering, how does Stutter Social work? Are people allowed to give each other advice and to comment on what each other are saying? Or do you guys have pretty strict rules, as do many support groups, about talking from the I voice?
We don't have strict rules about it, but what happens, at least on the Hangout that I host, is exactly what you said. People are encouraged. I encourage people to talk about what's happening with them, as you say, in the I voice. today I was at work and this particular thing happened to me and this is what I did. That's what we encourage people to do. As far as giving advice, people are more encouraged to ask, and people do ask for advice or ask for ideas, or maybe someone will speak about something and I will ask another person what they would think about that. Of course, I try to be very careful because I don't think that we should be in a place where we offer unsolicited and even aggressive advice. And I haven't experienced that at all in my group.
Wow, I've got so many questions I want to ask you here. So let's just get some of the basics down. So if I understand it right, there's about 8 people who participate in each chat. Is that correct?
The Google Hangouts allows up to 10 people. I've had chats where there've been 10 people. I've had chats where we've been 3. So it depends on the week. It depends what's happening with people. Mostly, I've got around 7 or 8 people in my chat. I think that the chats that are hosted in the USA are full. In other words, 10 people most of the time from what I hear from other hosts.
Now, can you sign up ahead of time or do you have to log in and just hope to get on air with the group?
The second. You have to log in and hope that there's space. If there isn't space, if I can speak to our listeners, if you try to log in, there isn't space, try again in a few minutes, in 5 minutes or in 10 minutes, because often people pop in and pop out. That aspect of Starter Talk is actually nice from the point of view of enabling people to be kind of more at ease, pop in and pop out as you wish. It does have a disadvantage that we do want everybody to introduce themselves, and it becomes tiresome going through a third or fourth round of introducing people when people are popping in and out. So what I do is I'll ask us all to introduce ourselves up to 2 times, and after that, whoever joins, and then I involve them in the conversation, but without going through the whole introductions.
Yeah, it reminds me of playing poker when you're sitting at a poker table, which usually seats are between 8 and 10 people, and then half the table gets up and leaves. when you're hosting a Stutter Social Hangout, when people join the conversation, what countries are they from? Like, can you expect there to be 8 people from 8 different countries? What's your experience been with that?
The experience is amazingly wonderful. I've had hangouts where I've had people from almost across the globe, someone from Canada, people from America, from a number of companies in a number of countries, in Europe. People from India join quite a lot. They're very, very interesting people in terms of their self-help strategies, but that's another topic.
Well, but I have to say, they are on fire. We get so many emails from India. It's wonderful.
Yes. They in general, the people I know from the Indian Stammering Association seem to me to be, as you say, on fire. They have their own hangouts on a daily basis. There are a number of groups that meet weekly in a park or in a mall, and even go out as a group to practice desensitization with people in the park or the mall. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So what about the sound? So I've been hosting Stutter Talk now for more than 7 years, and I'm very hesitant to have on more than one guest. I liked having on one guest because we get really great sound, and getting 2 guests on, and immediately the internet signal gets challenged a bit, and having 3 or more voices on the show, I'll only do that on a very rare occasion. So when you've got 8 to 10 people on a Stutter Social Hangout, I mean, and you're using video too, can you hear each other? I mean, is the sound ever an issue, or how is the technology doing?
The sound is very often an issue, but I don't think it's an issue because of the number of people on. I think that it's often an issue at a local person's connection. And why I think that it's not an issue with a number of people on the chat is that most people on the chat who are in countries with good infrastructures and are not on the chat with a telephone but on with a computer, we can hear each other fine. Problems come in when people join with phones or other mobile devices. I guess not other mobile, especially phones. And in some countries where the infrastructure is not the best. Just as an example, we were speaking a number of weeks ago with a guy from Kabul, Afghanistan. And I mention it because it's amazing for me to be able to speak with a guy in Kabul, Afghanistan, about stuttering. I think it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely amazing. And he didn't hang up on me when I said I'm from Israel.
So I was just going to say, with an Israeli passport, you probably wouldn't be allowed into Afghanistan. I could be wrong. I'm just guessing. But
I think they'd allow me in, but I don't think they'd allow me out. Not in one piece anyway.
Wow. Actually, as long as we're... Wow, there's so many topics. I'm going to get back to the cultural stuff in just a minute. So I'm on the Stutter Social website, and it's really well done. I'm going to suggest to you, though, and I could be wrong, that I'm a little surprised that I don't see any information on the best way to get your sound good to join the Hangout. I mean, so when I schedule Stutter Talk, if I'm doing it via Skype, I always send the guest pretty detailed instructions on how to set up their computer and Skype to get them sounding good. So for me, the big things are, there's really two big things. Try not to use wireless. So try to plug your computer directly into a router and wear headphones. So just doing those two basic, like even with those basic important things, I can even have kind of poor sound with just two guests on. So I'm wondering aloud if people had set up directions or instructions, I bet you could get the Hangout sounding a little better. I don't want that to sound like a big criticism. I'm just bringing it up.
No. On the contrary, it's an incredibly valuable point to point out, and I thank you very much for it.
So, are most of these Hangouts in English, or do you ever have Hangouts in other languages?
The Hangout that I run is in English, and as far as I know, all the other Hangouts which run today are in English. The other Hangouts are hosted, as far as I know, from within the USA by other Americans or Canadians, of course. And as far as I know, they're all in English. However, Stutter Social would like to extend the range of our Hangouts. I think that the management are discussing ways of doing that. And the objective really is to reach out and enable more and more people who stutter around the world to be in touch. And as we do that, for sure it'll make sense to have Hangouts in local languages, because that will, of course, make it much easier for people who stutter. In Israel, we need to somehow have a Hangout in Hebrew. There are a couple of people in Israel who join my Hangout, but most wouldn't, because it's enough of a challenge for them to speak, but then to speak in English on video is perhaps a bit more than what they want to deal with right now. We really have to have Hangouts in Hebrew. It's not hard to organize, it's just a matter of time.
So for many of us who stutter, including myself, there was a time where it was really hard for me to get into a conversation. So, you know, even in a stuttering self-help group, you would want to talk, but just getting yourself to get the voice going can be challenging, or to let other people know that you want to turn. How do people who have trouble getting started indicate to you, the host, that they would like a turn speaking?
They often don't, and I think that's perhaps my biggest challenge as a host, is how to ensure that everyone has a chance to speak. So what I will do is I will really try to see who's participating, or rather who's not, while still trying to follow the conversation, and engage them. Actually, I will turn to that person by name and ask them if they want to speak. I do it very, very hesitantly because I don't want to put a person on the spot. If a person just wants to listen in and they don't want to speak, I don't want to force them. So that's me, okay? That's just my personal, say, hang up. But I will try and engage the people and give them a chance to speak.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitz is here with Hanan Hurwitz, who is a Stutter Social host joining us from Israel. Stutter Social can be found at stuttersocial.com. So as I've mentioned a few times, you are a Stutter Social host in Israel. And anybody who follows the news, you know, certainly if you have a Facebook page, you might have noticed that there are times where the country of Israel is very unpopular in the world. Now, we're not going to get into the politics of that, but it is a fact that the country of Israel does receive a lot of criticism, as do many countries. So what's it like for you, a Jewish Israeli host of a Stutter Social Hangout, to find yourself hosting a support group or a chat group that has people from all over the world on it? Do politics ever insert themselves in what you're doing?
No, I wouldn't say outright no. I rarely try, and I think I succeed most of the time to keep stuttering and speaking about stuttering entirely separate of politics. And when I've spoken to, when people say from Jordan, from Lebanon, even one guy from Iran was on my hangout, we spoke stuttering. I made a little bit of a joke about one day being able to visit each other, but that's it. Okay. And that's what I'd really like to do. Stuttering. We're around the world, in every country, in every culture, there are people who suffer from this disorder, and the objective is to help each other, and nothing else matters.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm just curious on how that all works. That's one of the things I loved about finding self-help, is that I found myself sharing a beer or sitting down to dinner with people who I had never been exposed, with people who had views in this world that I'd never been exposed to. So it's really neat when you're sitting down at a table with stutterers, and there's all different backgrounds and cultural and political and religious views. It's a really cool thing. So I'm glad to hear that the Stutter Social Hangouts can keep politics out of the hangouts.
Yes, absolutely. I don't bring it up. I've never had anybody else bring it up. And if they did, then I'd have to decide what to do. I mean, I'm sure that I would say that we're not speaking politics here. We're speaking about stuttering. I did make a mistake one day, and I regret it, and I need to find out how to fix it. I was speaking with a person from America, and there was a person from Serbia on the line, and we got to speaking politics in America, and this guy is a Serbian nationalist, and I think things got a bit uncomfortable, and that's really my fault. I should have managed it better. One of the challenges is coming to the end of the day. You know, it's hangout time. It's late. Inevitably, I'm really, really tired, but there's a hangout to do. So sometimes I will make mistakes, but I really try to keep it clean, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it happens in real life too. I will never forget working with a group of four third grade girls back in Brooklyn for speech therapy. And I was getting ready for the session and the four girls were sitting at the table talking and I'm sitting at my desk just getting a few things ready. And I overhear two of the girls who were from countries in the Middle East. I'm thinking it was from Egypt, but it could have been the West Bank. Or Jordan. I'm not exactly sure. And they were talking about how Jewish people kill babies and eat babies and drink the blood of babies. And so when I went over to the therapy table, I said to them, you know, girls, I overheard what you were saying. And I just want to let you know that I'm Jewish and I don't kill babies and I don't eat babies and I don't drink the blood of babies. And that was all I said. And we had a great speech therapy session. And a few hours later or an hour later, one of the girls came by my office and they didn't know I was Jewish, you know, so one of the girls comes back by my office and she says to me, Mr. Peter, I want you to know that if you're Jewish, there has to be at least a few good Jewish people. And so, you know, now that's as far.
That's comforting to know, isn't it? At least a few Jewish people. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and so I'm certainly not going to talk politics with my clients or with these students, but I did feel in that situation, I had to respond in some way. And I'm very proud of how I handled that. Thank you.
I think that's amazing. It takes amazing presence of mind to respond like that.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. I'm proud of it. So I can agree with you. Yeah, I was good that day. You know, being involved in self-help in the United States, now this is a oversimplifying it, but there were times where I can remember self-help meetings with 20 people, and it seemed that half of the group were pretty much chasing fluency. All they wanted was to be fluent. And then there was the other half of the group, there were people like me who wanted to accept stuttering and change how we stutter and think about stuttering, but stuttering was okay. So it was really the fluency group versus the stuttering is okay group. Do you find dynamics like that in the stutter social hangouts?
I don't. We speak about it a lot, but I don't find people being passionate as much as I've heard can be in a support group in a face-to-face. My impression from the hangouts is that people are getting tremendous benefit from us speaking about the cognitive aspects of our lives and how they relate to stuttering, speaking about our thoughts, our rational thoughts and our irrational thoughts about stuttering. And I believe, I don't have data to prove this, of course, but this is my impression from what people tell me, that the speaking about stuttering, the emphasis that stuttering is okay, we can accept ourselves with stutter, and doesn't mean that we have to be resigned to how we speak. We can change how we talk if we want to. And speaking about the way we think about stuttering, those things have been of tremendous, perhaps immeasurable, may I say, help to people.
Yeah, I can believe that. So can you think of an exciting topic that you've had recently on Stutter Social that you could share with us? Like, has there been a conversation that you thought has been really interesting or helpful?
We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Of course, I have to refer to something in the near past because my memory is shot and I don't remember too far back.
Sure.
So
I'm right there with you, man.
We had a conversation about fear and how fear affects us and how we think and behave about fear and what it does to our stuttering and to our behavior in general. And that was a fascinating discussion because there were a number of people on, and each person had something different, new to add to our general knowledge about it. And it's also fascinating to learn that the topic of fear is universal amongst people who stutter. It's not surprising, of course, but it's fascinating to actually hear it and to then hear that everywhere people who stutter are facing the same fears and can be benefited by the same discussions about those fears.
So on that cultural point, I mean, because you said that, you know, the fear is a universal feeling that you see on Stutter Social Hangouts. Are there any differences you see between people from different countries or different backgrounds? And here's an example of what I'm thinking of. When I was in college, my girlfriend at the time spent some time in Russia. And when she came back, she told me that in her experience at a university in Russia, the people who stutter, the college students who stutter, had such a hard time. And she would tell me that professors would openly mock and make fun of college students who stutter. And she was saying, you know, it's not like that here in the United States. Sure, stutterers will get teased, but they're not going to get teased by a professor in college, and they're not going to get teased in the middle of a college class and have everybody laugh with the professor agreeing. That's just an example. Have you seen any cultural differences or patterns that you want to bring up?
From the perspective of the people who stutter, the experience of the people who stutter seems to be universal in how we feel, how we perceive ourselves, and from the point of view of the culture, in many aspects, how the people who don't stutter relate to people who stutter. There are cases, as it were, people who stutter are misunderstood, they are picked on, they are ridiculed everywhere. Now, between that and having a university professor mock the person, of course, is a big difference. I haven't heard of that as much, although I seem to remember there was one guy from Africa who joined us once. I think he was from Senegal, who related experiences of mocking from official levels. Apart from that, I haven't heard of other cases like the one that you mentioned.
And as I say that out loud, I imagine getting an email from a listener saying, well, I'm in college and my professor here in the United States laughed at me or made fun of me. So that was just an example. I'm certainly not going to say that was based on scientific fact. It's just what my girlfriend told me at the time. She said I would have been shocked by how openly stutterers were teased when she was in Russia.
It's very sad. I'm not sure what to say. It's very sad. I don't know. And I'm sure that the idiots everywhere, and having a PhD in something doesn't mean you're not an idiot, I guess.
Great point. So what about confidentiality issues on Stutter Social? So, I mean, in the self-help groups I participated in the States, you know, we're not supposed to talk. I wouldn't come on Stutter Talk and share someone's name and say, this is what they said at a self-help meeting. Do you guys try to instill confidentiality rules? Do you let people know that they shouldn't record the sessions? Or are people allowed to record the sessions?
It's another great point that you bring up. People don't record the sessions, at least as far as I know. But the point you bring up is great, because maybe that should actually be emphasized and said out loud. I don't know of any cases where anybody has recorded. There have been cases where people have asked, is it okay if we bring a non-person who stutters? How do we say that? A fluent person?
Sure. Oh, good point.
And it's up for debate, because we need to protect the environment for the for the people who stutter.
Yeah, I agree. And my suggestion would be, man, I don't want to be presumptuous here. You're not asking for advice, but my suggestion would be that if this were an issue, you guys would have some hangouts where graduate students could attend and parents could attend and non-stutterers could attend, but you might want to have, you know, certain hangouts just for people who stutter. Or I mean, I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
I don't think that you're being presumptuous at all. In the stuttering community, we can all benefit from the input and knowledge and advice of others. We can take the advice or leave it, but we can listen to it. I think it's fun. I think it's really great that you bring up these points. I appreciate it.
What about people with? Yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I wanted just to say that there was a time there was a session or two, a hangout or two, where an SLP, I think she's in New York.
I was just going to ask you about something like this, but please go ahead.
Asked if she can join with her client. She wrote to me by email and said that she thinks that her client can benefit. And I didn't hesitate. I said to her, it's fine. I had no way of polling the group because I don't know ahead of time who's going to attend. When she came on, I told everybody who she is and what's happening. So if anybody wants to leave, they can. But no one left. I realized that I was taking a bit of a risk, but I think that there was an overall benefit. No one complained to me. No one didn't attend afterwards because of that. And yes, my decision is up for discussion. It was on the spur of the moment, and I think it was the right one at that time. But I don't know.
Sounds like you have really good instincts, and that's what we want in any host, right? This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitzes with Hanan Hurwitz joining us from Israel. To learn more about Stutter Social, where he is a host, go to stuttersocial.com. You have time for just a few more questions.
Sure, I'd love to.
So Frank Steckel, who is a Stutter Talk listener, he wanted me to ask you this. Have people ever gotten together in person as a result of meeting on Stutter Social?
Interesting question. From the point of view of the hangout that I host, the answer is no, because in general we're a very geographically diverse group. If we get together, it'll be at an NSA or at an ISA conference. Interesting question, because Stutter Social was founded as a way to carry on the feeling of togetherness from the National Stuttering Association conferences. So it actually went the other way, from people being together at a conference and then wanting to carry on the contact. Where how if other people in other hangouts get together, I'm not sure. We always speak, especially as the time comes close, about the National Stuttering Association Conference. And I would imagine that if people get together, it would be there, because not only on my hangout, I think in most hangouts, people are pretty geographically diverse.
So let me ask you a bunch of related questions. Do you ever have problems with people who might have agendas? So let's say somebody wants to come on to every hangout and say, everyone has to do the Maguire program, or, you know, I've read Charles Van Riper and he's the best and everyone should read this book, or somebody trying to sell their own book. I mean, because I know at Stutter Talk on our Facebook page, I sometimes have to deal with these issues of somebody who appears to just want to be selling a product. Do you ever get product or agenda issues?
Never.
Oh, that's great.
I've had it once. And, you know, I think... perhaps I'm wrong. People find it easy to write something on a Facebook page. They might find it a bit harder to actually put their face out and speak to people in the way that they do on Facebook and promote stuff. So perhaps it's also that. But I've never had a problem with it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So how about guests? Do you or do other Stutter social hosts ever invite on speakers or people to present something?
No, I don't. I'm not sure about other hosts. I don't think so. The Hangout is for people who stutter to talk. And for many people who stutter, this is the only opportunity they have. So sure, on the one hand, it might be good to bring guests who can bring some information, but truthfully, the sheer variety of people who stutter we have on our hangouts, we've with combination of all the people, we've got most of the information there. Not, you know, because a lot of people who come on are people who do read and do study about stuttering and can pass it on in a non-lecture way to other people who are on the Hangout who are asking for information. So I feel that our environment, just people who stutter getting together to talk about stuttering, is working pretty well, I feel.
Just one last question for Hanan Hurwitz from Israel. And I want to thank you for your time and for joining us through this cold of yours. That's really wonderful, man. So Sidney Clawson wants to ask, how old were you when you started stuttering and what caused your stuttering? And she wanted to know what school was like for you. And I'll just add that I'm curious how you will respond to those questions in relation to doing Stutter Social. So were there things that you experienced growing up in school that influence how you host Stutter Social?
No. Speaking first about the aspect of school, I'm worlds apart, 180 degrees, if you would. All my life, I feared more than anything else two words. One was social, and the other was communications. Not even knowing what the words were, just the implications would totally fog me over. Only once I got involved with the National Stuttering Association, and this is only 4.5 years ago, did I start to be able to speak about stuttering and to be able to get to a point where I could even presume to be a stutter as a social host. As far as how old I was, I don't know how old I was and what started me stuttering. I don't know if I was 7 or 8 or 9. I really, really don't know. I don't remember a particular incident. I just remember stuttering. I don't know when it started. And I don't feel that's something I can ask my parents either. That's part of the picture. My relationship with my parents, many people know, is not hasn't been all that wonderful. There was a lot of, shall we say, interesting stuff which was going on, but I don't remember any particular incident causing my stutter or stuttering. A lot of people have mentioned a particular trauma. I don't remember anything of the sort. And when I was stuttering, my parents did seek help for me. They did. It was observed, it was recognized, and they did seek help for me.
Actually, let me just ask you one last question. So Before I got married, I went out with an Israeli woman for a while, great woman. And I remember I was very open with her about stuttering. It was a point in my life where I had become open about stuttering. And I remember her saying to me, you know, back home in Israel, we really don't have a lot of patience for talking about stuttering and talking about how you feel about stuttering. And she really suggested to me that being an adult who stutters in a small country like Israel would have been a lot harder than being a person who stutters here in the States. And she would say, you know, back home, I don't remember her exact words, but she basically said getting jobs and being in the army and moving up in life is more challenging in a small country like Israel because of stuttering. Do you think there's some truth to that, or how do you see it?
I am not sure. Yes, Israel is a small country faced with incredible challenges, very, very diverse population. In terms of the cultures, people can be incredibly sharp. We would say rude. They would say they're not rude. They're just getting to the point quicker. You know, we'd say they're shouting. They'd say, I'm not shouting. I'm just talking loudly. It's a boiler pot. So there are challenges for people with disabilities. There are challenges for sensitive people. If you're a sensitive person with a disability, well, you've got a bit of a harder time, as I had. However, I was in the army. I stuttered awfully. I don't remember any incidents of being picked on or made to feel that I couldn't do something, except perhaps for officer's course, which I knew I couldn't do anyway. Fine.
Why couldn't you do it anyway? Like, what? Why couldn't you not take an officer's training course?
I couldn't speak.
Oh, so because of your stuttering?
Yes. Now, when I went for the interviews, I wasn't... It's interesting. I put myself out of running because of how I thought that I spoke. Whereas when I went for the interviews, at the end I was told I wasn't accepted for the course because I was too open with my emotions. And we know that that wouldn't do in the Israeli army, would it? So,
well, you know, as I asked you this question, I was considering cutting it from the conversation, as I am the Russian question too, because I don't want to stereotype or overgeneralize. I'm just sharing with you things that have been shared with me. Yeah. But now that I see where you took it, I'm going to keep it all in, and folks can send their angry or happy emails to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. Again, I'm not saying these things are true. I'm just saying this is what people have told me, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Sure. It's our experience. We shouldn't be angry. We're relating our experiences. Other people have experienced something else. You know, my experience here has been 99% good. Sure, there have been people who have commented awfully about my stutter. When I looked for work after finishing the army and I was going from interview to interview, one guy told me that no one would ever hire me because of my stutter. Right? I mean, he didn't say, look, I want to tell you something. You know, it's not nice, but you want to tell you something. He was very, very out with it. Just no one would ever hire you.
I'm sorry, please.
But it's one case, and it's an exception. So I am fortunate that I've been in one place of employee for over 20 years, and my stuttering, in terms of my ability to do the jobs I've been in, hasn't been an issue, and the people are accepting of me. There are many, many people who stutter who have incredible difficulty finding work because they stutter, but I don't think that that's an experience which is limited to Israel. I think, I think that is a universal experience.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm curious, are there people who would also say to you that, well, you stutter very well, and you did your army duty, and I really respect that. I mean, did you get any of that too?
I haven't had that at all, no.
Because that's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm thinking, you know, you served your country and you did it with a stutter, and you didn't try to get out of your army service, which people do.
Well, there was one night in basic training when I was ready to leave. But okay, apart from that, no.
But I'm sure a lot of people would say there was one night in basic training.
Exactly.
I was ready. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe not only one night, right? So exactly. Many people. I'm trying to think if there are any people who stutter in Israel who I know who didn't do the army, and I can't actually think of any of them. It's not that I know that many people, but all the people I know, everybody's been in the army. Everybody's done okay. They've had their struggles. We have a Facebook group in Israel for people who stutter. It's a closed group, and often young kids who are about to go into the army are asking for advice on how to handle it. We go and we deal with it. It's certainly not easy, and having people, friends around you helps as always. But yeah, I haven't had any negative reactions about that.
Well, Hanan Hurwitz in Israel, I want to thank you so much for joining us and for talking about your life with stuttering and Stutter Social, and I would love to get you back on air sometime, man.
Thank you, Peter, for letting me finish off with a wonderful stutter there.
Good stutter.
thanks for hosting me, and thanks for the program.